for our scripture reading this evening. Let us turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, the verses 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, the verses 19 through 31. And there we read God's holy word. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4, where we read the text of the sermon. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Beloved congregation, to be blessed and to be blessed can be two different things. What do I mean? Well, whether you are truly blessed depends on our understanding of being blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? What makes you a blessed person? You might think of prosperity or good health. If you have hardly any trials, you are able to enjoy the bright side of life, then you are blessed. And you can probably add many ways to describe a blessed life. However, the question is whether you are really blessed if all goes well in life and you possess all your heart desires. This question should not be so difficult to answer after having read the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Who was blessed and who was not? The rich man was blessed during this lifetime. God says to him, Or Abraham says to him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Now, what about Lazarus? He received the evil things. Lazarus had nothing but trouble. Though he was not blessed with health and wealth, yet he was more blessed than the rich man. Why? Well, the answer is given in our text. Lazarus had made the Lord his trust, and therefore he was truly blessed. And this is the theme of the sermon, true blessing. First of all, it is not found in us. Secondly, it is only found with the Lord. And thirdly, it is granted by Christ. True blessing. It is not found in us. It is only found with the Lord. It is granted by Christ. We are listening to an Old Testament beatitude. And maybe you have heard of the Beatitudes which the Lord Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew 5 and Luke 6. We also find Beatitudes in the Old Testament, like the text of this evening. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And what does it mean to be blessed? The word used here is related to true happiness. This word is mentioned 45 times in the Old Testament, of which more than a half in the book of Psalms. And when we study these texts, it should strike us that to be blessed is always related to the communion and fellowship with God. For instance, Psalm 84, verse 5, Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Or Psalm 146, verse 5, Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The same Hebrew word is used both for blessing and happiness. And to be blessed is related here to the knowledge of the Lord. True knowledge of God causes true happiness, since God is the source of happiness. And with this explanation of true happiness, we are faced with our biggest problem. What problem? That our attitude is not focused on God, but on self. And therefore, by nature, we don't experience true happiness. This is not the way God has created us. All was good when the Lord created heaven and earth. Man could walk in sweet communion with God. But we have broken this blessed communion with God by our fall in Adam and Eve. And since our fall, we have brought ourselves into hopeless misery. David in this psalm has exposed this reality with a moving picture. David's misery is described as being in a horrible pit and miry clay. What does it mean? Well, we studied this last Lord's Day, so I don't want to repeat all, but let me give you a few rough sketches of this picture. The horrible pit and miry clay symbolize the same matter, namely the hideousness of sin. You are captured by your sin, and it's a hopeless situation from which you cannot deliver yourself. You can try to improve your situation by performing good works. You can try to live decently, but this makes it only worse. The miry clay pulls you down by all your vain attempts to get out. And the end of this is death. No happiness. But eternal weeping. And sin is that terrible. No future, no hope, no true happiness is found as long as we are captured by our sin. However, this is not what man feels. Sin blinds. And we try to make the best of this life. And we still experience so-called happiness. There can be a lot of fun. And you can have a beautiful day with a lot of pleasure. What makes you happy? When are you a blessed person? When you have success at school? When you get high marks? When you got the job of your dreams? When you get married and start a family? Beautiful if all these things are given to you. But it does not make you truly happy. Why not? Because they are apart from the communion with God. All we experience, all we enjoy, all happiness apart from God is temporary and is in vain. And what happens when you seek and find happiness apart from God? Well, this is clearly pictured in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And let us try to picture the rich man. He is pictured as a blessed man. He wore the nicest clothes. He feasted every day. His everyday theme was pleasure. He had fun with his friends. He could spend his money to his liking. And verse 19 pictures us a very successful man. He has made a lot of money. He has a beautiful home. It was walled around with a gate. And the man was in good health. There were no serious concerns in his life. And if you think that this man lived wickedly, then you are mistaken. The man was also religious. He visited the temple faithfully. And maybe he was an example to many others by sharing his riches with his friends. He read scripture. And by Jewish standards, kept the commandments. There was only one thing. Only one thing he had never done seriously. He had never really concerned himself about his soul. He had never felt as if he was in a terrible pit and miry clay. No, he discovered his terrible state after his death, when he lifted up his eyes in hell. And then it was too late to worry about his soul. He never had time for his soul. He was too busy with seeking happiness in self and in this lifetime. And this is what we are by nature. We are looking for happiness apart from God. Have you already seen this? Have you seen the picture of yourself sinking away in the miry clay of the world, captured in the horrible pit of sin? This is what we are by nature. This is also what we are inclined to seek even after receiving grace. The old man always drifts away from God. And the second half of our text speaks about those who respect the proud and turn aside to lies. With the proud is meant those who consider in their pride that they don't need God. The proud person is the one who thinks he can help himself. The proud person is the businessman who trusts his own expertise in making money. It's also a church member who fails to reject his own reasoning. It is the person who tries to combine the service of the Lord with his self-chosen lifestyle. That's also the person who goes astray after lying, says our text. Why? Since all the happiness that is promised by Satan, the world, and our own deceitful heart is a lie. Or have you never experienced that sin is a lie? Sin promises you satisfaction, but it offers you a hangover. Satan promises you wealth and happiness, but he leads you to misery and sadness. And your own deceitful heart believes lies rather than the truth. David's eyes were opened for the hopelessness of a life apart from God. And he knows from experience that he is inclined to seek peace and rest with man. And David became restless. And it's a blessing when the Lord makes you restless. When God opens your eyes for your condition, which is frightening and terrible. And his spiritual life, you increasingly need to discover the deceitfulness of your own heart. So often and so easily you are focused on the successes of this life, on the success of this life. You are so easily enticed by Satan and the world, who should not bow his head in shame, acknowledging that he has no perfect faith. You do not give yourself to serve God with that zeal as you are bound. You are weak, and many evil lusts roam in your heart. David confesses his dependency on the Lord. He cried to the Lord. He waited on the Lord. And as a result of God's grace, the Lord showed his goodness toward him, as it is described in the verses 1 through 3. What has God done to him? Well, David lists seven things. He inclined his ear and heard David's cry. He brought him up out of his misery. And he set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. And he put a new song in his mouth and put praise unto God in his mouth. And these are seven aspects of spiritual life. And they are all connected and come along with each other. They are all granted by the Lord out of merely grace. And therefore David was a blessed person. That is what he says in our verse as a conclusion. David had made the Lord his trust. That is what he did from the moment he cried to the Lord. And the Lord, with all capitals, is the Lord Jehovah, the faithful God, who will always be the same, the covenant-keeping God. And God delivered him. And that caused incredible joy. He was blessed by God's grace. He experienced true happiness since the relation with God was restored. And this happiness is beyond all imagination. There is no better, no more desirable thing than peace between God and your soul. When your sins are covered by the blood of Christ and that you live in righteousness with God again, it all comes from God. Do you know something of this happiness? Is it well with your soul? Maybe you wonder, how? How can I get experiential knowledge of this true happiness? What do I need in order to be called blessed as well? Well, the text gives an answer to this question. We read, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust." That is the way in which you become partaker of God's grace, namely by making the Lord your trust. And what is trust? This word is sometimes translated with confidence. It means that you lean on something or someone. You have confidence in something. In your daily life, in our daily life, we rely unconsciously on people and things. You trust that the roof above your head will not collapse suddenly. You trust that the church is well built. And when you go to the doctor, you trust that he will make a proper diagnosis. And children, let me explain this with a picture of a father who stretches his arms to his child that is standing on a high rock and does not dare to come down. Father encourages his child to jump, since he will catch him. And this child trusts his father and believes that he will catch him. He jumps, trusting his word and trusting his power. Well, David says that those who make the Lord their trust are blessed. It means that you rely on God, since he is faithful. David believed that the Lord alone could deliver him from the terrible pit, from the horrible pit and the miry clay. Regardless of his circumstance, regardless of what other people say, regardless of the fact that he has forfeited all blessings, he could do nothing but put his trust in the Lord. He could do nothing but lay aside all accusations that testifies against him. He threw himself into the arms of a faithful God. And David had no firm ground in self anymore. He could not rely on others. He trusted God to be faithful. He relied on the Lord and his word. He believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. And when you make the Lord your trust, you stop reasoning. You lose all before the Lord. You are lost, and you sink down on the only solid and firm foundation which God has laid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, to say with the words of the form, you seek your life out of yourself in Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit teaches you to trust the Lord, you also learn to have no confidence in self or others or in circumstances. This is also clearly expressed in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Who was Lazarus? A poor man who was taken or maybe cast near the gate of the rich man's house. He did not possess anything. And this poor man was probably more covered with sores than with clothes. He desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Whether he really received the crumbs may be questioned, since the dogs and on the street were his friends, licking his sores. The man did not have strength to scare them away, and they probably ate the crumbs that were thrown on the street. And this situation affected his entire life. He was not able to attend the temple service. Actually, he was not allowed to visit the temple since he was unclean. For him, it was impossible to pour out his heart in the temple and to bring sacrifices. How would you describe his life situation? Pure misery. There's nothing with this man that makes him attractive. This man has nothing but misery. But what does Scripture say? Blessed is Lazarus. Why? Well, we read further in this parable, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. With other words, Lazarus went to heaven. Why? Because he was so miserable? No. Because he was known for his godliness? No, that can be, since he was never found in the temple. However, his heart was in the temple and its service. How do we know? By his name. His name was Lazarus. And that means, God is my helper. And the beatitude of our text is applicable to him. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. That is not because his situation was so miserable. A multitude of difficulties do not necessarily bear spiritual fruit. Can also harden man's heart. Can all even make him go further astray. Lazarus could not but trust the Lord. And when the rich man in his beautiful carriage passed him by, he did not curse the man. He did not curse the dogs when they came eating the crumbs on the ground and licking his sores. What did Lazarus do? He prayed to God. He sought and found his help with God. And he had nothing but God. But that means that God was everything for him. He had made the Lord his trust. And he has never been disappointed by God. What? Did his circumstances change? Did the Lord grant some relief from pain? Did someone bring him bread? Or was there a Levite that encouraged him? Did someone give him some money? No, not at all. Nothing changed for Lazarus. People could argue with him. What benefit do you get from serving the Lord? However, Lazarus made the Lord his trust. His soul was delivered. And that made his whole life different. And therefore he was blessed. He believed that with the Lord there is forgiveness of sin. With the Lord there is peace for his heart and rest for his soul. He believed that with the Lord is salvation, and that the full deliverance would come soon. He did not see it outwardly, but he made the Lord his trust. And therefore he could leave all to the Lord. What? His whole life. Namely his living, his sorrows, his poor health, his pain, his loneliness, his sadness. But above all, he could entrust his soul to the Lord. He possessed the grace of the Lord. Do you see the difference between the rich man and the poor Lazarus? The rich man had all. He was well respected. He lived from all the riches he received in this lifetime. And he believed that the best comfort could be found in his achievements. But he lifted up his eyes after he died. He was in torments. He was in a horrible pit, a pit of fire and sulfur, from which he could never be delivered. Not because he was rich, but only because he had never made the Lord his trust, but had respected the proud and turned aside to lies. His whole life, all his riches, all his so-called happiness turned out to be nothing but pride and lies. And poor Lazarus, however, inherited eternal life when he died. He was delivered from all the hindrances in serving the Lord. And now he could enjoy eternal communion with God, his God. Lazarus hoped in the Lord, and his comfort in this life reached far beyond the rich man's. The rich man had never enough, but Lazarus had enough, since God was his portion forever, and therefore he was blessed. Lazarus knew of true happiness, and therefore he could leave his whole life with its difficulties with the Lord. How do you learn to make God your trust? Well, the way in which the Holy Spirit teaches you this is hinted at by the second half of the text. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We already studied the meaning of these words. However, its opposite is a trait of trusting the Lord. What? The one who trusts the Lord has become humble and turns to the truth. You humble yourself before the Lord. That means that you acknowledge your misery, your sin and guilt before the Lord. You grieve over your proud heart and complain that you missed the blessed communion with God. You have a genuine desire to die to sin and to self. And you desire to put on the new man and to live in accordance to his will. His will, which you discover in his word, the word of truth. You turn to the truth, since you begin to hate the lie. The truth has become desirable and attractive to you. What is truth? Truth is the reliable revelation of God. And in a way, we can say that every aspect of God's revelation is truth. However, God manifests his truth in particular by sending his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the psalm we are listening to this evening, hints at his coming in verse 7, where the Lord says, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all God's promises. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifests his truth. And you are blessed if you learn to bow for his truth in humility. You must confess, "In me is no truth. I am altogether deceitfulness. But Lord, I seek it with thee, since thou art the truth." And when you get the sight of this truth, you learn to make the Lord your trust. You trust the Lord, who is faithful to his own word. You trust him, who has given himself in order to satisfy all the demands of the law. He, the Lord Jesus, was born under the law. And he has borne the curse of the law. Becoming a curse, he bore the guilt of his people. He has satisfied God's wrath against sin. God cannot let sin go unpunished. Otherwise, God would appear unreliable and unjust. God's justice requires satisfaction. And the tokens of bread and wine on the next Lord's Day point to Christ's sacrifice on the cross and proclaims to believers, I for you, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death. True blessing is granted by Christ. Christ Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. And therefore, it is possible to live in communion with God again, in true happiness. Therefore, it is possible to become a truly blessed man or woman. And maybe you wonder, how do I learn to make the Lord my trust? Well, tell me, what more can the Lord do to convince you of His truth and of His trustworthiness? What in this world can be more attractive than the peace and rest that is found with God? It is the wickedness of your nature if you don't bow. It's because of your pride and your abominable appetite for vanity. When you don't make the Lord your trust, your unwillingness and inability is no excuse. The Lord reveals His love to you in His Son. Will you not repent and trust Him? In Luke 9 verse 25, the Lord Jesus says, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? However, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is that man, since he has access to all God's promises, which are yea and amen in Christ." When He is your trust, you have access to the cabinet of choice jewels. The doors of the cabinet are opened for those who cannot but rely on God and His Word. And what do you find in this cabinet? This treasure chest. The choicest jewels which will make you truly happy. You find forgiveness of sin, peace for your soul, eternal comfort, healing grace. Yes, for every need, there is a jewel of grace available. Though your deceitful heart tells you that meditating on spiritual matters is difficult and boring, the Holy Spirit convinces you of the happiness of serving the Lord. If the rich man of the parable had made the Lord his trust, he would not have lost any happiness at all, living from God's grace alone. The happiness of communion with God adds much sweetness to life and removes many bitter tears. We hear the Apostle Paul saying in 1 Timothy 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." And David writes in Psalm 19, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." To make the Lord your confidence makes most dejected person happy, and makes the happy one even happier. For Christ is the perfect Savior for people who have nothing to offer but guilt. And maybe you consider yourself to be unworthy to become partaker of all the benefits merited by Christ. Well, you're right. You are unworthy. You are not suitable. But listen to the gospel. David in the horrible pit of sin is most suitable for God's grace. Your unsuitability makes you suitable for God's grace. And therefore, fear not. Trust Him and lean on Him. Or can't you reach the promises of God? They are too high. That's a lie from the devil. Since God Himself came down into the pit and miry clay of your misery, delivering sinners, trust Him who grants grace to the chief of sinners. And maybe more objections arise from your heart. Oh, my dear friend, cast all your cares upon Him. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. And there is no genuine happiness to be found as long as you do not cast yourself upon Him who delights in receiving sinners like you. You are blessed when you get the sight of the Lord. You will marvel about His undeserved goodness toward you. You learn not to focus on your circumstances, but to lean on His promises. David says in verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." You start to count the blessings, but you cannot number them. Well, this will be your experience. When you sit at a table with an eye that sees nothing but God's undeserved goodness toward a sinner like you. Sitting at the banquet of Christ, you will taste the choicest food that makes you truly happy. He will sing, "My mouth shall sing for aye, Thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I Thy faithfulness record." Amen.